The following is a radio interview with His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 22, 2010, in Lanesha, South Africa.
Hare Krishna. So welcome to the Vedic Version Show on this beautiful and wonderful summer's morning. So today we are very honored to have a very, very special guest all the way from Austin, Texas in our studios. So today we are honored with this guest who is His Holiness Sankarshan Das Adhikari Maharaj. So Maharaj is a traveling Vanaprastha. Maharaj received direct initiation by Srila Prabhupada in 1971. And as a young brahmachari, Maharaj was encouraged by Srila Prabhupada himself to carry on enthusiastically in his spiritual life and become qualified to be a spiritual master and initiating guru. So since then, Maharaj has become an initiating guru. Maharaj travels around the world, in all six continents of the world. Maharaj has many, many disciples in all six continents, spreading the message of God and the teachings of the highest principle of self-realization. So this is Maharaj's mission, to re-establish, to help people re-establish one's connection with the Lord. So Maharaj also has this very wonderful e-course, which we all can sign up to, where we receive a thought for the day. And Maharaj also has a Bhagavad Gita course that one can sort of do. And the website is www.backtohome.com. That is backtohome.com. Maharaj has over 12,000 followers on this e-course. And this course is broadcasted all throughout 100 different countries. Maharaj's mission and life is dedicated to the service of Krishna and bringing spirituality to the world and helping people awake their connection with God, thus contributing to solving all of humanity's problems by trying to bring peace and prosperity, good morals, values, ethics, and proper lively standards to all people. So this is Maharaj's mission. This is Maharaj's life's mission. So Hare Krishna Maharaj, welcome to the Vedic Version Show in Lanesha, South Africa.
Thank you very much.
So Maharaj, we have a few questions with regards to spiritual life and spirituality. One of the first questions that we often wonder about is, why do we exist? What is the point of our existence, and what is the purpose of this human life?
Yes, this is the most important question that everyone should understand the answer to. Because if you don't know why you exist, then how you can properly carry on with your life's activities? The reason we exist is there is actually a Supreme Person who is the source of all existence, who is engaged eternally in pleasure pastimes. To increase his own pleasure, he expands from himself an unlimited number of living beings to enjoy loving relationships with them. So we are actually the expansions of that original Supreme Person, the source of all existence. He's expanded us from himself, just like the sun emanates the sun rays throughout the universe. That Supreme Person is emanating us or shining us from himself for the purpose of having a loving relationship with each and every one of us. God, or the Supreme Person, is supreme enjoyer. He wants to enjoy unlimitedly. Anandamaya vyasat. Then the original natures of enjoyment. So, to have unlimited enjoyment, he expands from himself an unlimited number of living beings And we are a part of that number, that infinite number of living beings who have been expanded from the Lord for the purpose of increasing His own enjoyment by cultivating loving relationships with each and every one of those living beings. Just like no two snowflakes are exactly the same, each snowflake has its own individual, unique, beautiful design. Similarly, every single living entity that is being emanated or manifested from God has his or her own unique qualities and characteristics, thus giving the Lord the ability to enjoy a different sort of loving relationship with each and every one of those infinite number of living beings. So each one of us has our own unique qualities and characteristics, which are not perfectly matched in anybody else. So we have the duty, actually, since God has created us for the purpose of giving Him a special type of love that only each and every one of us can give Him according to our individual identities, we have a duty to reciprocate with Him for everything He's giving to us. So the purpose of our existence, actually, is to love God, to engage in loving service to the Lord. Love means service. It doesn't mean taking, it means giving. So we exist for the purpose of giving loving service to that original Supreme Person who is the source of all existence. I'm not speaking a sectarian religion here. I am speaking the science of life itself. That Supreme Person may be addressed in different languages according to different traditions, as Allah, Jehovah, Krishna, Christ, etc. But there is one Supreme Person who is the source of all existence. In our duty and our fulfillment of our actual identity is to engage in loving service with that Supreme Person. In other words, we have to be in sync with that Supreme Person through loving service. That is how we sync with Him through loving service. If we are not synced with Him, if we are out of sync, then we find ourselves in a state of disharmony, in a state of so much anxiety, frustration, bewilderment, and devastation. So it is not a pleasant situation to be disconnected from God. Therefore, the great saintly teachers throughout history have taught the living beings how to reconnect with that original Supreme Person.
Hare Krishna, listeners out there, I think use this opportunity. You have any questions that you are doubting, please phone into the studio and have an opportunity to clear it out once and for all. So we all have doubts in our life and we need to increase our faith. Use this opportunity because we have a pure devotee in the studio here, which will allow us to clear our doubts. So please call the studio. The number is 011-852-6871. 011-852-6871. While we, please bring your questions. Today is an opportunity. It's a special for Christmas. Use this opportunity because it might not come again. You know, they say a moment's association with the pure devotee eradicates all your doubts and clears your path to spiritual elevation. So use this opportunity because it might not come again. And it's also a Christmas special, so we need to know, use this opportunity. So we say, a question from Maharaj from my side, what is the common denominator that can bring peace and unity to the world, Maharaj? Mm.
Yeah. The common denominator is that we are all children of the same Supreme Person. Now the names, as I mentioned, may be different. We should not allow those names to, different names, to cause division amongst us. Just like in English we call the sun, the sun. In Spanish they call the sun, el sol. So, if there is one country, just like in Texas where I'm from, we call the Son, the Son. And it crossed the border, they crossed the Rio Grande River, south of the southern border of the U.S. There's Mexico, and they call it El Sol. So just imagine how ridiculous it would be if a war broke out between the United States and Mexico over what that fiery ball in the sky should be called. One party says, it's the sun. The other says, no, it's El Sol. And they fight, try to defeat the other party. You see, that would be absolutely ridiculous. But that's what's going on nowadays in the name of religion. You see? We have to understand that just as the sun is called by different names in different languages, it still is the same fiery ball in the sky. The name doesn't change the reality. It's just different languages. So in one language we may call God as Allah, another language we may call Him as Krishna, another language as God or Jehovah. It's the same person we're talking about. To fight over the different names according to different languages is ridiculous. The point is that God is multilingual. He can understand whatever language you address Him in. Simply, you have to be a sincere devotee of God, sincerely devoted to the Lord. And then whether you call out to Him in Sanskrit, in English, in Urdu, or Spanish, doesn't matter. It's the sincerity of the heart that matters. So nowadays, people are lacking this scientific understanding of religion, this scientific understanding of God. They take it as some sort of religious faith or sectarian viewpoint. And this causes so much unnecessary turbulence and anxiety in the world. Religion is meant to unite everyone. In other words, religion is one, just like as I was explaining, God is one. So to relink with God, that is religion. In fact, the word religion comes from the Latin word religio, which means to relink. So any process that relinks you with God, that is genuine religion. So religion is actually one to relink with God through loving devotion. God has given us one religion to relink with Him through loving devotion. That one religion has been explained by great teachers throughout history. It's not that God has given us different religions. That is a man-made conception that there are different religions. God has given religion, and man has divided religion into religions and created so much turmoil in the world. So now we have to remember the Vedic injunction, Dharman hi sakshat bhagavat pranitan. Religion is given by God. That religion means develop pure love for the Supreme Lord. That love of God principle is stated in every scripture, the Bible, the Vedas, the Quran. That principle of loving devotion to the Supreme Lord is the universal religious principle. So if we can come to that understanding and genuinely try to love God as a humble servant, trying to adjust our every thought, our every word, and our every deed in all times, all places, and all circumstances for His pleasure, then we will find that we're living in perfect harmony with Him, and we can live in perfect harmony with everybody on the face of this planet. Just like if there's a pond, and I throw my rock into the pond, it creates a wave, a circle of waves coming out of it, ripples. So if you throw your rock in the pond, then your ripples come out from your rock in concentric circles. Eventually those ripples, those waves, will clash with one another. But if we all throw our rock into the same place, as you mentioned, common denominator, if we will throw our rock into the same place, making God, or the pleasure of God, the purpose of our existence, instead of amassing money, instead of amassing power, instead of amassing beautiful women or beautiful men, instead of amassing so many material things, if we will try to simply amass as our greatest asset pure love, for the Supreme Person, then there'll be perfect peace and harmony throughout the entire planet. And that's what I'm dedicated to awakening the suffering society to, this understanding, so that everybody can be peaceful and happy on this planet throughout the entire world.
Thank you, Maharaj. That explains it very well. I think also Maharaj travels around six continents, as we mentioned earlier, clearing doubts of all people. And I think we as a human race, we need to applaud this gesture, because it allows one to inquire and also get all your questions answered. But in this time of technology and age, Maharaj has given us the opportunity to link directly, so we can have a daily thought for the day. It will inspire to you, begin your day. And also, if you have any questions, we can directly have these answered through your email. So we will repeat the URL as well, which is backtohome.com. So backtohome is one word, .com. And also, if you have any questions, and also you can enroll onto the e-course, which will allow you to be in constant contact with what is happening out there.
So thank you very much. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for that wonderful explanation to that question. The next question that we often wonder, Maharaj, is we find that we are often suffering in this material world. Why do bad things always happen to good people? And is it necessary to suffer to enjoy in this material world?
So that's two questions. Why do bad things happen to good people?
Yes.
Well, there are two different types of goodness. There is mixed goodness and there is pure goodness. Mixed goodness means I'm pretty good, but sometimes I do things that are bad. Even though I'm mostly good, I have a mixture of the bad in there. So if I do some bad things, along with my good things, then I can expect, according to the law of karma, the actual law of action and reaction, is confirmed by Newton and by the Bible, as you sow, so shall you reap. It's understood because in this life and in previous lifetimes, even though I'm a good person, I have done some bad things, and I have to get a reaction for those bad things. However, if one becomes purely good, completely free of any sinfulness, even the slightest tinge of sinfulness, then one does not have to suffer any bad reactions. So when bad things happen to good people, it means they were not purely good, but they were mixed. Even in this life, they were purely good. In their previous lifetime, they must have done something bad, because now they're getting the reaction for the bad thing they did. So instead of blaming others when something bad happens, I just have to understand I'm burning off the reactions from my previous bad activities. Therefore, I should not become bewildered or confused or devastated. I should see everything as happening according to the divine plan. And I should simply, therefore, be enthusiastic to engage in loving service to the Supreme and become unlimitedly happy. Now, the second question you asked me was, is it necessary to suffer in this world in order to enjoy? Some people say, if you want to enjoy, then you must also get suffering in order to actually enjoy the enjoyment. Because if you didn't have the suffering, how could you understand you were enjoying? But that is not a very intelligent philosophy. That's like saying, well, I go to a restaurant and order a dinner, and so I can enjoy the dinner, I have to order some rotten food along with the dinner. Please bring me, so I can really enjoy this dinner, please bring me a bowl of stool also, you see, so I can have the stool and the dinner, and that way I can really enjoy the dinner, you see. So this idea that you have to suffer in order to enjoy is a fool's philosophy. Actually, you don't have to suffer at all. Anyone who thinks they have to suffer, they don't understand that suffering is unnecessary, it's artificial, it's not natural to suffer. Suffering is an unnatural condition. So if you will engage in the process of Krishna consciousness, awakening your dormant love for the Supreme Lord, then you can experience a state of misery, a state of happiness, which is completely beyond any sort of miseries. And that's what we are teaching.
Okay. So now it's time for a small musical interlude. And then we'll come back with some more questions for Maharaj. So we'd like to encourage all the listeners out there in East Waveland to please call in if you have any questions or inquiries about life, about your journey to self-realization, to any questions with dealing of spirituality, morality. And you can call into the studios at 011-852-6871. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. If you just joined us, you tuned to the Vedic Version Show 92.2 East Wave Radio. And in your service this morning is none other than Jagannath Charan Das. And Maharaj, thank you for gracing our studios. Thank you for gracing our land this morning. And thank you for coming into the studios as well. Thank you very much, Maharaj. But we have another question that was taken in by one of the callers. And the caller here says, what is the most important spiritual practice of this age? And the second part of the question, what can people do to ward off crime and evil in this world, or rather in South Africa?
Yes, these are very nice questions. Thank you very much to the caller. The first one was, what is the most important spiritual practice of this age? In this age, the most powerful means of awakening one's dormant love for God is to vibrate the names of God. This system is actually there in all the scriptures. The Bible, the Quran, and the Vedas all present this system of glorifying the name. Just like in the Bible, Christ says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it's stated in the Brihad Naradiya Purana, Haranama, Haranama, Haranama eva kevalam, Kalo nasteva, 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 gatir anjata. Chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. There is no other alternative. There is no other alternative. There is no other alternative for God realization in this age. So, if one will chant the holy names of God according to his own religious faith, that will have a great effect on purifying his consciousness. And if one doesn't have any particular names, he has no religious faith, he's not oriented in any particular way, and he's looking for something, we encourage you to try chanting this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because this particular mantra in the Vedas is recommended as specifically mentioned in the Kali Santarvana Upanishad. This particular Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is recommended as the most powerful, effective mantra for awakening the state of self-realization within one's heart. So that brings us to the second question. What can bring peace, or what can people do to ward off the crime and evil of this world, specifically here in South Africa, where there's so much crime running rampant and so much difficulty and anxiety? Well, the good news is there is the internal world and the external world. Whatever's going on inside, if there's pollution inside, if there's contamination inside, then that becomes manifested externally in the form of crime, terrorism, etc., family breakups, strife, etc. It's simply all due to contamination within. If there's pollution within, then you have problems externally. So the real way to solve the problems is not by increasing your police force, by putting up more barbed wire and more security bars everywhere. That's not the real solution. The real solution is to purify the consciousness of the people by engaging everyone in regularly chanting the holy names of God according to their religion. If everybody will be encouraged, according to their faith, to become more and more absorbed in a prayerful state of chanting the holy names of God, that will give one a higher pleasure. You see, in this world, we foolishly think that wealth, women, and followers will give us satisfaction. Or if you're a woman, you think that wealth, men, and followers will give satisfaction. This is the mistake we make. We base our happiness on the material body, which is only a temporary covering of the self. But if one will regularly chant the holy names of God, then one will easily realize that I'm not this body. This is just a covering. It's not really me. My happiness is not giving unlimited facilities to this material body. My happiness is giving full facility to the soul within by connecting it in a loving relationship with the Supreme Person, the source of all existence. So when one becomes fully happy and satisfied by chanting the holy names of God and thus awakening the dormant love of God within his heart, then he can live very simply. He doesn't need to amass unlimited wealth, unlimited followers in order to become satisfied. All he has to do is chant the names of God. That chanting alone, whether he's rich, poor, or in the middle, that whether he's old or young, whether he's healthy or sick, wherever or whatever he may be, or she, that chanting alone will make him fully satisfied, completely peaceful and happy. So if we can teach people how to find their happiness in chanting the holy names of God, that will bring peace and happiness in the society. Like nobody, you wouldn't even be able to believe how peaceful and happy everyone can be if it was simply emphasized chanting the holy names of God. And the wide-scale distribution of sanctified foodstuffs that have been offered to the Lord with love and devotion. This is called prasadam. Prasadam means we take foods in the category of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grains, because these are what the Lord has described are acceptable by Him. Meat, fish, and eggs are not acceptable. If we will offer foods from the categories of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grains to the Lord, and then distribute the remnants of those offerings on a wide-scale basis throughout the entire country, that everyone can be fully satisfied eating sanctified foods. And we introduce, along with that, the chanting, that everywhere the chanting of the holy names of the Lord will be going on every day. Even during the lunch break in downtown, there can be a big festival. All the businesses can close for 1 hour for lunch and have a big, huge festival of singing and dancing with the holy names of God, you see. So if we introduced on a wide-scale basis the chanting and the distribution, the wide-scale distribution of sanctified foodstuffs, then I guarantee you, you're not going to have a problem with crime anymore. You won't have a problem with crime. Everybody become very, very happy and satisfied.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. So we had a caller that called in, and the caller wanted to know about yoga and meditation, and is God light or energy?
Yes, yoga means to yoke with the Supreme Lord. The English word yoke is an etymological derivation, according to the scholars, of the Sanskrit word yoga. So, yoga means to link with the Supreme. There are different systems of yoga. There's Hatha yoga, Jnana yoga, Ashtanga yoga, Kundalini yoga, so many types of yogas. But Krishna, who is the Supreme Master of yoga, he's called Yogeshwara, he explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam abhisarvesham madgitena taratmana Shadavam vajate yomang same yuta tamo mataha. He says of all the yogis, the one who always abides in me with great faith is thinking of me within himself. He is the most intimately united with me in yoga, and he is the highest of all. So there are different rungs of the yoga ladder. And each yogi, according to his type of yoga practice, has advanced step by step up that rung to a certain level. But if one can directly take to chanting the holy names of God and eating sanctified foodstuffs, then one immediately becomes situated on the topmost platform, which is known as bhakti yoga, the yoga of devotion. The meditation of the yogis on the ashtanga level is a program of fixing the mind on one point, making the mind still, but that is an artificial type of meditation. It's like asking a child to sit down and be quiet and don't do anything. It may work for a few minutes, but before you know it, he's up and running around again with his crayons, drawing on the wall, drooling on everything, etc. So that's not the... To mechanically make the mind still is not the most effective meditation. The most effective meditation is to fix the mind on the beautiful form, the beautiful names, the beautiful qualities, the beautiful attributes of that Supreme Person who is the source of all existence. So when you take to the highest yoga of devotion and engage in meditating on the transcendental form, the name, the fame, the qualities, etc., of that Supreme Wonderful Person, that all-beautiful, all-powerful, all-renounced, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, and all-famous person who's the source of existence, who's the Supreme Father of all living beings. If you will focus your energies on chanting His names and meditating on Him, then you've achieved the perfection of yoga and the perfection of meditation.
Thank you, Maharaj. Also, there's another caller who had a question. He says, how do we control anger or a high temper?
Yes. Anger comes when my material desires are not fulfilled. That is described, jayato vishayam bhungsang sangateshu pajayate. Sangat sanjayate kama, kamat krodo vijayate. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment lust develops, and from lust anger arises. So anger comes when I have some greedy, lusty desire for something, and I don't get it. Then I become angry. Or somebody else has it, and I don't have it, I'm envious, and I'm angry. So instead of contemplating the objects of material sense gratification and getting attached to them and getting angry and lusty for them and getting angry when my lusty desires are not fulfilled, I should instead focus my consciousness on the Supreme Person and let that be my happiness instead of trying to amass as much material sense gratification as possible. By putting my consciousness on the Supreme Person, away from, you know, these material senses, which are dushpralena nalina cha, they're always agitated, they burn like fire, and they're never satisfied. If I put my consciousness on the Supreme Person, then I'm going to become very cool-headed. If you want to be cool, you see, then you just have to sanctify your consciousness by becoming Krishna conscious or God conscious or Allah conscious or Christ conscious or Jehovah, Jehovah conscious. You just have to reconnect with the Supreme through loving devotion. And then you won't get angry anymore, you see. You'll become completely free of anger. Now, anger is allowed for correcting those who are blaspheming the Supreme. That sort of anger is divine anger. To correct, if I become angry, if you say, well, there's no God, God does not exist, and I'll become angry when to hear you say that, and I'll correct you. No, you're wrong, sir. And see, that's anger. That sort of anger, is there's no problem with that anger, because that anger is in the service of the Lord. But when anger is utilized in the service of my senses, that anger destroys one's happiness and must be avoided.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Seeing those of you who have laptops and computers, yeah, well, you should log on to the e-course, and we'll give you that website again, www.backtohome.com. Once again, please write it down, www.backtohome.com. backtohome.com. So, Maharaj, we have another question for you. One of the callers gave us a question this morning. What is the absolute truth? How do we realize the absolute truth?
Yes. Absolute truth means That truth which is always true in all times, all places and circumstances. Relative truth is true sometimes and not true sometimes. Just like I would say, John is a young man. That's a relative truth. Because 20 years from now, John will not be a young man. He'll be a middle-aged man. And 60 years from now, he'll be an old man. So if I say John is a young man, that's true, relatively. It's not absolutely true. So the absolute truth is that truth which is in every single situation is true. So the supreme absolute truth, which is never altered by any situation, is the source of all existence. As described by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the summumonum, the source of all energies, that is the absolute truth. Because there's no relativities there, you see. Even time itself is limited. The time and space dimension is limited. If you speak, anytime you speak in terms of time and space, that's still within the realm of relativity. Even Einstein talked about the theory of relativity, you see. So to actually get to the position of absolute truth, the in its original pure form, completely free of all relativities, that's when you come to the Supreme Person as the source of all existence. So the absolute truth is God or Krishna, as we say in Sanskrit language. That's the absolute truth. As described also in the Vedanta Sutra, the absolute truth is that from which everything emanates. And the Vedanta Sutra also enjoins Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you have a human form, you must utilize it to inquire about the absolute truth. If you don't utilize the human form to inquire about the absolute truth, well, then you're an animal, actually, according to Vedic understanding. The human life begins when you use your advanced human intelligence to understand who you are, where you've come from, why you exist, what is the purpose of your existence, and how can you perfect your existence. That's when you actually become a human being. Until then, you're just a sense gratifier, like a dog, a hog, a camel, an ass, a monkey. You see?
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Just to follow up that question, how to help people with existential crisis?
Yes, someone who has an existential crisis means they don't know who they are. So many people have identity crisis. They don't know who they are. They're depressed. And the modern day solution is give them some psychiatric drugs. You're just getting people addicted. All you're doing is creating drug addicts, whether it's illegal drugs or legal drugs. You're creating a society of drug addicts. You see? Instead of acting, because the psychiatrists themselves don't actually know who they are, they themselves don't realize the absolute truth, how can they help their patients? Therefore, a spiritual master is essential. He's the supreme psychiatrist. Spiritual master is very important because the spiritual master can enlighten the whole society. He can bring sanity to the entire human society by teaching everyone how to reconnect with the Supreme. How the government can be reconnected, how the educational institutions can be reconnected, how the cinema industry can be reconnected, how the radio, the TV, the travel industry, every single portion of the society can be reoriented so it's connected with and representing and helping everyone to be reconnected to that supreme source of existence, the summum bonum, the absolute truth.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. We have another question. Dr. Pritesh will address it.
Maharaj, you mentioned about the spiritual master. So what is the spiritual master? What is the duty of the spiritual master? And what is the purpose of having a spiritual master, is it really necessary that we have the spiritual master?
The original spiritual master, of course, is God Himself. He is Adi Guru, the original spiritual master. So, it is also that one who represents the spiritual master, the supreme spiritual master, or God Himself, he is also called spiritual master. One may say, but I think only God Himself is spiritual master, no one else. But then why does God Himself, Lord Krishna, say in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 4, text number 34, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevya upadekshantite jnanam kaninastatvadarshinaha? Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. If Krishna understood that he was the only spiritual master, why would he say they? The Sanskrit word is they. So he's talking about some lineage of teachers, some group of enlightened teachers who are representing him perfectly. These are called bona fide spiritual masters. So the original spiritual master, God Himself, has verified and confirmed that there are persons who represent me and they are spiritual masters. You should approach them to understand what is the absolute truth. You should serve them. You should inquire from them. And in this way you can become enlightened in transcendental knowledge. Now, bona fide, nowadays, to be a spiritual master is a very lucrative business. People, charlatans will utilize the garb of spirit being a spiritual master for their own nefarious purposes of profit, adoration, and distinction. So one has to be very careful. Most of the gurus nowadays are not even bona fide. I myself was cheated by one such guru. I had to pay 1 month's rent to get a mantra, which was not effective to giving me any spiritual enlightenment whatsoever. It was just a ripoff. This so-called guru became a multi-millionaire. He was very good at marketing, but he had no real spirituality to give to the people. So the bona fide spiritual master will never charge you for spiritual enlightenment. It's like my spiritual master is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He didn't charge me to give me this Krishna consciousness. He gave it to me out of love. So how could I turn around and charge you money for something that is given to me out of love? That means I'm just an opportunist. I'm not a pure servant of God, a pure servant of humanity. The pure servant doesn't take any material remuneration. He just wants to serve. He just wants to give. So, just like for material education, we require a professor's help to become expert in that field of education. So, in the spiritual life also, we take help from a professor, the bona fide spiritual master. A subject matter such as, you know, law or medicine, we definitely require the help of a professor to train us how to be a competent attorney or a competent medical doctor. So even for something material, we require the help of a qualified professor. Why should we think that in spiritual life, which is even more advanced science than anything, any material science, it's more advanced than any material science, why should we should think that I don't require a professor to guide me how to become realized in the absolute truth? It's a ridiculous thing. And that's what people say now, is I'll just do it on my own. They think, I'll just go to the beach, I'll sit down and chant Om as the sun is rising, and I'll become enlightened. I'm sorry, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. You're not going to be able to sit on a mountaintop and chant a few Oms, do a little pranayama and expect to realize God. It's not going to happen. Don't delude yourself. God Himself has instructed you to seek out a bona fide spiritual master. That's the way.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Well, another question following to that. We talk about bona fide. How do people recognize a bona fide spiritual master?
Bona fide spiritual master means as described in the scriptures, tad viganartam sagrum eva vigachet samit pranahi shrotiyam brahmanishtam. One should, if one wants to realize that absolute truth, he must approach a bona fide spiritual master. And what are the qualifications? Shrotiyam brahmanishtam. Shrotiyam means he has heard the Vedic wisdom and he is purely repeating the Vedic wisdom without any addition, subtraction, modifications. And brahmanishtam, he is solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. He himself is purely fixed in Krishna consciousness. It's not that during the day he's a spiritual master and at night he goes off to the cinema or the nightclubs, just like somebody works a job as a teacher in the school, and the night they go off and do all kinds of nonsense things. In the day they're the teacher, and at night they're a nonsense in some nightclub. So the spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, he is 24 hours a day fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. From the moment he gets up to the moment he gets sleep, even in his sleep he's connecting with Krishna. So a bona fide spiritual master is not an ordinary person of this world. He is a transcendental personality who lives in connection with God, in connection with Krishna at every minute. So it's very important that we understand who is a bona fide spiritual master. He will not introduce any concept which is different than what's given in the Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna. That's one thing. If you will carefully study the Bhagavad Gita and actually understand what the teachings of Krishna are clearly, and then compare what the spiritual master is saying with what is written in the Bhagavad Gita, then you can clearly see if he's bona fide or he's a charlatan. Is he presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is, or is he twisting the words? The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, surrender to me. The bogus guru, he says, don't surrender to Krishna. You are Krishna. And I will teach you how to become Krishna. Simply give me $3,000 and I will teach you how to become Krishna in 6 months. Is it? That is the bogus guru.
Excellent. Then I think what Maharaji says, you've got to make sure you check what you're getting. You can then learn a lot of imitations. These days we have branded clothes and you can go and buy unbranded clothes at a cheap price. So if you want to be cheated, you will buy cheap cheated clothes. Likewise, you'll find yourself a cheap guru. So one way to verify this is guru, shastra and sadhu. So in three ways, you're checking that the information you have is bona fide. So also, Maharaj, the last question we like to ask you, if you want to start to chant, are there any rules, Maharaj, to chanting?
Actually, Lord Chaitanya says there are no rules for chanting Hare Krishna. Everyone is welcome. Just come on and start chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everyone is welcome to come to the Hare Krishna temple and chant. You're welcome to chant at home, wherever you are. You can, any situation. In the shower you can chant, you're brushing your teeth, a little hard then, but you can still try. Shaving, and chanting can go on all the time. You see, chanting is meant, there's with no rules at all. Anyone and everybody is welcome to chant Hare Krishna. However, when one realizes this chanting is so wonderful, I want to become more and more advanced and achieve the perfection of this chanting. Then when a person is ready to go to the higher level, they want to perfect their chanting, then there are certain rules and regulations which will help one to purify it. One thing is, give up illicit sex. Use sex only for procreation, otherwise practice celibacy. No intoxication. Means you don't need to take, marijuana or LSD or ecstasy or alcohol, any of these things to try to get yourself in a happy mood. Because just by chanting Hare Krishna, you get completely intoxicated and you're in a state of bliss 24 hours a day just by chanting. So there's no need for intoxication. And this to feel dependent on artificial intoxication simply reconnects you with the body and prohibits you of realizing your spiritual identity. Therefore, illicit sex, which also brings you down to the bodily plane, and intoxication, these things are given up because they take one away from the spiritual identification and bring one back into material identification. The next item is no meat eating. If you cause suffering to other living beings, then that suffering will come back to you. This is the law of karma. So if you want to become free and purified, you have to stop causing unnecessary harm and pain to other living entities. Now, one can say, well, the vegetables also are alive. A carrot dies when you eat it, but they don't have as much consciousness as a living animal has. When a carrot is killed to be eaten, is not the same sort of pain and anxiety that an animal feels, because the consciousness level is much lower, and Krishna has authorized that we can offer fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grains to him and be freed of any other reaction one would get from having killed that carrot or that potato, etc. The final item is gambling. One should not become feverish through some process of gambling to try to amass material goods. One should rather just humbly serve the Lord and take whatever he provides as one maintenance and be very happy and peaceful in that way.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. And maybe the last question we should take on also, because we have some time. The last question, or maybe quite a few. So give us a call also, 011-852-6871. We're stealing some time from the next presenter, because we won't have this opportunity again until next year, maybe sometime. So, Maharaj, this age of Kali, what is a mantra that we should be chanting? Because there are many, many mantras. What is the mantra that you should be chanting for this age of hypocrisy and quarrel?
I've already explained this, that everyone is welcome to chant the names of God according to their faith. But if one does not have any specific mantra, the most recommended mantra in this age, given in the Kali Sansara Upanishad, that the most powerful, most effective mantra for awakening one's dormant Krishna consciousness, one's dormant love of God, and bringing peace and happiness to the entire world is this Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we hope you all will join us in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, or the names of God according to your own faith. By this process of chanting the holy names of God, you'll become completely happy. You'll become free of anxieties. Your mind will become very, very peaceful. You'll create a wonderful atmosphere on this planet that has that bubble of love and spiritual love and peace gradually grows more and more. The whole world will become enveloped in that bubble of spiritual love and peace. It'll be a new dawn of spiritual enlightenment on this planet, the Chaitanya era. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, we also just realized that in this world, everyone is striving in some way or another for some education, for some job, for some wealth, for a beautiful wife, etc., etc. But why do we always sort of meet obstacles? Why is there no real sort of enjoyment in this world? Even though we endeavor so much, we tend to not receive fulfillment.
We face obstacles because this is not our place. Why does a prisoner find obstacles for happiness in the prison life? Because the prison is not his natural home. This material world is a world of obstacles. We are not meant to be here. We are meant to get back to our original home in the spiritual existence, the spiritual world. It's natural there's going to be obstacles here. That's par for the course. There's going to be obstacles here in this material world. What are those main obstacles? Birth, death, old age, and disease. You're not going to change that. There's always going to be obstacles here. But for a person who takes shelter of the holy names of God, who awakens the dormant love of God within his heart, he transcends this world of obstacles. He realizes, I'm not this body, I'm the eternal spiritual being in quality one with the Lord. And what these obstacles are not touching me, they're only touching my covering. They're only touching the garment that I'm wearing, namely this material body.
Thank you, Maharaj. I think this month of December is a book marathon month. So a lot of devotees would be distributing book out there. We are fortunate enough to have Maharaj in our studio today distributing the mercy very freely to all those that were available. So they say spiritual life begins with hearing. So if you're hearing over this last hour, I think this opportunity has allowed one to become purified. So you get devotees coming out doing book distribution. So please welcome them in your homes. This is all Srila Prabhupada's writing and teachings which has come through the parampara. And we're fortunate enough to have the first generation direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada with us. So this opportunity, we like to thank you, Maharaj, for blessing the studios and coming to our home, and also blessing South Africa as a whole. So thank you for your mercy. And also, please don't forget to visit the website www.backtohome.com. So this is, and you can have constant contact with Maharaj 365 days every day of the month. So thank you very much again, Maharaj.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
So from us at the Vedic Version Show, until next week, chant and be happy. And chant what?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
We'll do it again next week, same place, same time. And those of you who missed Maharaj, well, you missed him, we'll get him again. So, well, if you lost out, well, we'll try and get Maharaj again next year sometime. So, thank you very much, Maharaj, for coming into our studios, and Hare Krishna to you.